This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good morning, man.
Man, good morning to you too, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Things are good, man. It's been, crazy around here. We've had a surprisingly, busy August. Folks just picking their pipe up quite a bit, man. It's, we see that maybe a little sooner than normal. I don't know. I from week to week, I feel like my assessment of where we are as pipe smokers kind of changes just on like what happened in the shop and how much business we get and all that kind of stuff. But people have been coming in smoking their pipe, and we normally don't see this type of volume until I'd say probably later in the year, September, certainly October, November, and man, it's just picking up. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of those 2 ounce guys smoking 4 ounces, and a lot of those guys that smoke cigars during the summer starting to switch over to the pipe. And it's been pretty cool, man. So we're doing good. What's going on with you, man?
Man, it is crazy, but the summer is almost over.
It is.
It's absolutely crazy.
It really is, yeah. And, in some sense, like, thank goodness, like, let's turn the page on this one. But, all chances are fall might be kind of difficult, too. So we might be we might be ready to turn the page on that also.
yeah, man. Got to find new ways to keep the spirits high, to be sure.
But, that's it, baby.
No, man, things are going all right here. In Houston, had some family over this weekend. For a bit of a cookout and a pool party, which was a lot of fun. And
oh, that's nice.
Good. The kids spending some time with their cousins and that sort of thing. And okay. So it was a good one. It was a good one, man. The funny thing is we are right here in the kickoff to the school year, and I am not prepared for that.
Yeah.
At all.
What is the status? So just briefly, I know we're going to talk about lots of pipe related things today, but what's the status of your schooling area there in Houston?
Yeah. So I really love what they're doing, because they're basically doing it kind of like an optional deal where we're in the public school system here, and they've got it where you can either go virtual or in person.
Yeah.
And I would love to do in person, but at the same time, I'm like, Houston's been hit so hard.
Yeah, true. Well, your wife's in the medical community. And
exactly.
All that stuff too. Yeah.
And so we're just trying to play it safe, and so we're opted for the virtual, but it was kind of like this 2-lane type deal. Like if you go virtual at the beginning of the year, then you're in it for 8 weeks, and so it's a hard decision, but we were going with virtual. But even just kind of trying to unravel what that looks like, especially because both girls are both in school now, and so it's an interesting, just universally it's an interesting time, right?
It is, man.
You're literally every single industry has been disrupted. And, in some instances, to see the silver lining, that's a good thing, right? Like there's a lot of, adapting to kind of the where we are technologically and, moving off the analog into the digital, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
But the stumbling block to that is that, that's typically people who drag their feet on getting kind of adapted to technology don't exactly adjust to it very quickly. You know what I mean?
I understand, man. Yeah. And then also the inconvenience of all of it. I mean, entrepreneur Bo is about to become homeschooler Bo
been the case for months now. Like at the beginning at the end of last semester, by the end of last semester, I should say, I got pretty good at it. Like I was like, okay, I figured out a rhythm. I figured out a schedule. I'm a big fan, and I've said this before in related to pipes and specifically, but also pipe tobaccos as well. And I believe this is true again, almost in any industry. And that is like, limitation breeds innovation. There's something to be said when you've got the challenges of kind of parameters that are put around you.
Yeah. Overcoming the hurdle.
Exactly. And so like, to some extent, it's like, on the one hand, it's frustrating because you're like, wow, this isn't how I did things before. And yada, yada, yada. But on the other hand, it's like, okay, well, now let me see if I can work around this. And you create innovative, creative solutions that you wouldn't have thought about otherwise. I point specifically to, the old Star Wars movies. Like, there's a reason why those classic Star Wars like hit so well, especially at the time compared to like the prequels did, is because they had the technological limitations, and so they had to get creative to work around it.
Sure.
And then, yeah, you know, you get to the point where it's like, okay, well, now we're going to do everything on green screen. It's like, yeah, but should you? You know, it's so to some extent, it's like, all right, so we've got these limitations on our schedules, and so we're going to come up with some creative and innovative ways to make it work. So,
well, anyway, we've seen that in the pipe community, too, you know, throughout, you know, even this past weekend, I had the pleasure of hanging out with David Dorian Ross and his pipe virtual pipe club that he does weekly. And man, that was so cool. They had me on to, you know, interact with, you know, some of the guys. Literally, I mean, I don't know how many guys were there, but gosh, they were from literally all over the world. It was so awesome. But, you know, we used to not do that kind of thing, or at least if we did, it was much more rare. So we're all adapting and trying to overcome. I do have to, you know, we can't let this go by. Of course, you know, we've been talking about our 50th anniversary a lot this year, and we've kind of claimed the whole year as the anniversary, and so we've talked about it quite a bit, and I'm sure people are to some extent tired of hearing about it, which is appropriate for today, but today's episode. But you know, it's funny, I do want to at least acknowledge that this past week was the actual day. It was our 50th anniversary.
Oh, like it actually happened.
The actual day, yeah, our actual birthday. And you know, it's funny, how do you, we couldn't do anything to you know, celebrate you know, properly the way we, you know, want to, and have a big you know, shindig and you know, all this kind of stuff, just because not just the health stuff, but even our local ordinances have just you know, really locked down on that kind of stuff. But anyway, you know, just did want to acknowledge it. It was kind of neat. If you are on our email list for the Country Squire, you can go to thecountrysquireonline.com to sign up for that. But if you were on our email list, I sent out kind of a birthday email, just a, you know, a short pictorial history of our store with some you know, kind of neat notes and mementos about that, and that was fun. And then we did have some close friends stop by the store that day, and man, we killed a couple bottles of Johnny Walker Blue. It was fun. spent probably way too much on premium scotch that day, and some cognac, and some other things. But man, just you know, you only turn 50 once, so we wanted to mark it somehow. But yeah, so anyway, kind of cool. That was neat. And hey, some other news too in the pipe world, man. You know, we had spoken about this briefly recently as a possibility, but the Seattle Pipe Club folks, you know, if you're in the pipe community, if you smoke their tobaccos, you've been aware that it's been kind of difficult to get your hands on their blends. It's been kind of hard. You know, these some of the best selling blends in the tobacco world. Things like Plum Pudding and Mississippi River, Hood Canal, Deception Pass. I mean, all the hits at Seattle Evening, all the hits they've come out with over the years. It's been kind of difficult to get. And, you know, just to give folks a perspective on that, the contract that Seattle Pipe Club had with their former distributor actually had lapsed, and so they were in negotiations there to you know, find a new distributor and get their products back out on the market. And so that finally has come together, and I'm proud to announce that we literally just found out that Seattle Pipe Club is partnering with Sutliff Tobaccos to distribute their awesome you know, award-winning tobaccos. And so really, really excited about that. They could not have picked a better company to partner with on that. Of course, Sutliff actually manufactures the tobaccos for Seattle Pipe Club. A lot of folks don't know that. Like, you know, the folks in Seattle, they came up with the recipes, the concepts, and then Sutliff actually produces the tobacco for them. It was previously distributed through Meyer & Dutch, which is like it's one of the tentacles of, you know, Scandinavian Tobacco Group, one of the many faceted parts of it. You know, they own a big portion of our industry, but now they are going through Sutliff, and I can honestly say they're in really good hands. You're going to see much more availability on the Seattle Pipe Club blends, and I think that's really exciting. So
yeah, man, that's huge.
it's a big deal. You know, regardless what you think of Sutliff Tobaccos, obviously we believe in them and love them, and not just have sold them for a long time, but also trusted them with our 50th anniversary tobacco, which we talked about recently. But you know, even if you don't like their blends, there is no bigger supporter of the pipe community than Sutliff Tobaccos. And of course, Sutliff is a Mac Baren company. They're owned by Mac Baren, which, you know, out of Denmark, and one of the most premium tobacco companies in the world. And Sutliff, you're always going to see them at events. You're always going to see them at shows. They've kind of, you know, helped the Richmond show re-kickstart and have got that really ginning right now, and are just, man, such an asset to the pipe community. So anyway, all that to say, look forward to seeing, and those Seattle Pipe Club 10s, you know, more available, you know, in the near future. It'll start, you'll probably see them more in your online retailers, but pretty doggone soon, that's going to trickle down to your brick and mortar shops. And what's cool about this is Sutliff has more probably relationships with brick and mortar shops than the former distributor did. And so my guess is you'll more likely see these Seattle Pipe Club 10s, you know, ongoing at more and more pipe shops across the country, which is exciting. So some of the best tobaccos that are out there now. So anyway, just a little bit of news.
No, man, that's exciting. And congrats to the folks at the Seattle Pipe Club, too. I mean, that's a good get. That's a great solution and a good get along the way. So that's exciting, man. Well, good deal. Well, as you mentioned, as you alluded to, yes, people are totally sick of hearing all about the 50th anniversary of the Country Squire. So we thought we'd do one more episode. No. Nobody's sick of that, man. Like, look, it's kind of the way that my wife handles birthdays. She is a firm believer that a birthday is not a day, it is a week. You have a birthday week, and so you celebrate the entire week surrounding your birthday.
And I wish my family would have done that. Doggone.
I tell you what, man, it's a lot of fun. It stretches out, and you really get a chance to celebrate somebody. And for the 50th, I mean, like, honestly, like, that's, you got to go all year long. So that makes a lot of sense. And of course, you have commemorated this moment with a lot of great things. Aside from the fact that you got absolutely plastered at the shop last week.
Not true. Not true.
I'm just kidding.
The evening may have ended up at Waffle House, but plastering was not a part of the function.
Right. So that pretty close. But anyway, so of course you've been having some fun over there at the shop, sending out these wonderful images and kind of, you know, really just celebrating the storied history. And then, of course, as we talked about very recently, you put out a 10 tobacco, the 50th anniversary from the Country Squire, a fantastic, fantastic blend. We've already gotten some great reviews and thoughts and feedback on people really enjoying that, man. But, you know, the Country Squire, it's a pipe tobacco shop for sure, but it's also a pipe shop. And so what would a 50-year pipe tobacco be if not to also have a 50-year commemorative pipe to go along that?
Man, it's true. You know, we did have to do a pipe. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, gosh, you come out with a tobacco and, you know, later in the year, we're going to come out with, you know, a couple other blends. And we think a cigar, although that might get punted into the next calendar year. But, man, yeah, the pipe was always like, what's the one thing that that you can do to really honor, you know, your story and all that? Something physical, tangible that you can hang on to for a long time and pass down. And man, of course, a pipe kind of came up to our ideas. And so, man, we're just now releasing that pipe. We're just now about to, we've already released a few, but for the general folks, are about to release the remainder of those pipes. And man, I just want to talk about that a little bit today. And, you know, and also, too, just it kind of sprinkling throughout our conversation today, the concept of limited edition pipes, the club pipe or the anniversary pipe or something like that. You know, a lot of, you know, different folks, clubs and whatnot, they'll come out with these limited edition pipes to mark a yearly anniversary. Maybe they have a collection going, or, you know, maybe there's an event that they do in honor of someone or to fundraise for something. And so, Yeah, just talk about kind of the process of that a little bit, going back and forth with your carver, manufacturer, and that kind of thing. But yeah, man, the 50th anniversary pipe. How do you select a pipe that embodies the spirit of a shop or a club? You know, it's like, man, you've got, you know, all these options, and what do you do, you know, to pick? And so there's this balance of finding like something that you like and feel comfortable with, but also something that you think enough other people will like to be able to move them. Obviously, we don't want to purchase, you know, a whole bunch of pipes and then they sit on the shelf. And so you've got to find that crowd pleaser. It's true of any club. You know, it's like, well, you know, if you come out with a straight pipe, I really only smoke bent pipes, you know. Oh, it's a smooth pipe. I really only have, I prefer rusticated pipes. I like how they feel in my hand. And so you're always kind of taking that that gamble a little bit there. And, you know, one thing, if you've listened long enough, you'll know I'm kind of, I kind of am timid in a way, you know, that there is a very much an introverted part of me, you know, even though I get on mic and blab, you know, every week. And
you are very much, it's an interesting fact about you too, because you're an introvert. But as I understand it, like, that was not always the case. Did you grow into your introvertness? Like, didn't you used to be like the extrovert extraordinaire?
I have embraced it. I have embraced it. I used to shun it, and I think a lot of honestly, my own, you know, emotional trauma that I've that is not a mischaracterization of it, but you know, some of my you know, past you know, things that I've had to really work out have been due to really not being comfortable as an introvert, you know, and just you know, kind of trying to compensate for that so people will love me. I think most of my childhood was kind of spent in that vein, and yeah, it's only in the past, you know, decade really that I've been more comfortable with just not really liking crowds and not really you know, being you know, the front man and all that kind of stuff. So Bo drags me on here every week, and I pretend like we dredge up some of those old characteristics, and I pretend like you know, that I'm super comfortable in front of a crowd. But anyway, no, you know, it's funny, you know. So the reason I even bring that up, you know, you talk about, okay, you're gonna select this thing that represents your legacy and your story. You're gonna spend a lot of money on it, so you've really got to move these things. You know, so now there's like, man, I'm really not sure. Am I the one qualified to make this decision? You know, like, who's, you know, what pipe am I gonna pick? Maybe I should let someone else pick the doggone pipe.
Interesting. And, like, when you, I mean, obviously you own the shop, but you acquired not just the brick and mortar space. You acquired history when you took over the shop. That's a good thought process.
Well,
man.
And
you're the
if I can use my words right, the curator of that, you know.
That's
and
right,
and
yeah.
the caretaker of that. You know, our goal is to you know, this is not you know, my shop, it's the community that we're going to leave better and pass on to the next guy. You know, we're kind of the steward, as it were. So
the squire, if you were.
The squire.
Because, like, the squire. Anyway, all right.
So, anyway, you know, what's one thing a pipe shop could do to mark its anniversary, you know, as the, you know, as a, you know, pipe enthusiast, you'd like to try to, you know, collaborate with a pipe maker that is very reputable and well known, and someone that's going to make a splash because of their you know, just being a universal name and all that kind of stuff. And so we were so proud to be able to partner with Savinelli on our anniversary pipe, and have done that. Savinelli has always been our best-selling pipe here at the Country Squire. We're one of their leading brick-and-mortar accounts in the Southeast, and just are really proud of that. It's one of those shops that, or one of those pipe companies that we've just always been very comfortable. You know, when I sell someone a Savinelli, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it coming back. You know, I can probably count on, you know, three fingers the time a Savinelli has come back in the shop, and we're out of thousands of pipes that I've sold, and Savinelli's taken care of every one of them. You know,
wow,
I mean,
yeah.
we just don't have to worry about Savinelli's. They're so quality, and so, you know, that impeccable quality control, they just don't have the issues that some of the other manufacturers have developed over the decades that we won't mention any names, but you know who you are. And we wanted something that folks could get a really high value for the money. You know, one thing about Savinelli is, you know, if you pay for a $100 pipe, I'm very, you know, very firm in the belief that you're getting a nicer pipe than that. You know, I can't put a price tag on it, but you know, if you bought a $100 pipe from Savinelli, I mean, there's a good chance one of those other makers might, you know, make that same pipe $150, $200 because, you know, they just use really high quality briar and they crank out a bunch of them so they can give you a good value. So we approached them with the concept and they were thrilled. They were, you know, really excited about the opportunity to do that. They do this kind of project from time to time, but it's not something that, you know, they do extremely often just because, you know, Savinelli, they're one of these big companies that, you know, they're not going to take the little club pipes here and there. If they make a pipe, it's going to, you know, kind of be a big deal. And so we were honored that they, you know, would bend their ear to us for a season to work on this. And, you know, when you're selecting that person to do your club pipe or your anniversary pipe or whatever it might be, you know, you have to, the same thing applies for this. You have to, you know, what carvers are willing to work with you, you know, how accessible are they? Are they someone that you can go back and forth with on designs and prototypes and, you know, critique and all this kind of stuff? Are they someone, a carver or a, you know, a carving house that, you know, can do the volume, that can handle the volume of that much, you know, if you're making 50, 100, 200 pipes, however many it is, can they handle it, you know? And then finally, it's like, not only do they have to make that many pipes, you know, but they have to make sure that the quality control and the consistency is, you know, the same throughout all those pipes, you know, and that's hard when you're, I think that's the reason why a lot of artisan pipe carvers will actually turn down the opportunity to do like a club pipe or something like that. Because, you know, as a carver, as an artisan, you got to think, okay, you know, let's say I'm a, you know, insert your favorite artisan carver name here. You know, if you're going to make 50 pipe or even 20 or 25 or whatever, 15, you know, you've got to make all these pipes look basically identical. But you're working from scratch with hand, man, that's a tall order, you know, and that's something to, you know, I mean, you're not just putting this piece of briar in a machine and it spits out a pipe shape, you know. So there's a lot to think about there, not just from the club side, but also from the pipe maker side as well. It's not something that everybody's going to be willing to do. And then wrapping all that up in a bow, you've got to make sure they can do it at a reasonable price too. So the shape of the pipe, bow.
All right. Yeah. Hang on. Okay. Let's just pause for just a second here.
Because
you know, like I really appreciate the fact that, you know, you've got this great mindset of, you know, hey, this is the 50th anniversary for, you know, for the Country Squire, and I'm the steward, and you know, I gotta tell the story of everyone that's come to the torch has been passed, and there have been many hands, you know, like this great, you got all this rich history here, and so I need to incorporate all this, but we all know that at the end of the day, it's gonna be a very John David centric pipe. So I gotta ask, man, first and foremost, did you make this thing a bulldog? This is a bulldog, isn't it? All right. That's what it is.
Why did you pick a bulldog?
Why did you pick a bulldog? Is it a bulldog? Is it?
It is not a bulldog.
Okay. Now let me tell you why it's not a bulldog. This is the thing. I had to first give you a hard time, and then I had to call you out on this, because this is why it's not a bulldog. You would have cut your audience or your customer base in Mississippi in half.
Okay. Let's just be clear to our audience members. Bo is picking on me because, as a proud Mississippi State Bulldog, a former student body president at Mississippi State and right. Mr. MSU, right? This is who yours truly, you know, is, you know, it would be very tempting to pick a bulldog shaped pipe.
right. But that's the thing. This is hard. You would have sliced your customers down in half. If I would have done that,
I probably would not have been as forthright about why said shape was chosen.
But people would know. All right. So if it's not that,
it's not that, man. Do you have any other guess? With it being me, do you have any other guess what the shape might be?
So, all right, with the exact same tenacity in which I pointed out, like, you know, in the end, you're going to do you. I think it's fair to say that the average anybody who's listening in that's listened to this podcast for any set amount of time could, if they all guessed in unison, in fact, let's all say it at the same time right now. Here we go. A Bing's favorite.
Bing's favorite.
Is that right? Is that right?
And it is, man. The 50th anniversary pipe for the Country Squire is a limited edition Bing's favorite. And I'm gonna try to defend myself here. Like, I picked the Bing for a variety of reasons, right, Bo? I mean, it's a shape that reminds me of that kind of mid-century aura that we try to, portray here at the Squire, that, 50s, 60s, 70s thing that's kind of in our DNA. Pipes right before the Squire was founded, this is very, a classic shape, something the Reeves family would have been familiar with. So we love the pipe. It's got the, it smokes great for, a number of reasons. It's got the, the longer stem and the kind of medium-sized bowl with the, little slight bend. It's like a miniature church warden, that gives folks the, the ability to smoke that church warden, but without, it's not obnoxious though,
Well, I like to say it's like, if the church warden is making a statement, then the Bing's favorite is making a measured statement, right?
Yeah, it's a measured statement, right? I mean, this is a, 7 or 8 inch long pipe. And so it's, it's like some of the benefits of the church warden, but without being obnoxious. But, so I can defend this all day long. But why did I pick it? Well, Bo, because I'm just selfish.
There it is. Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. It's mostly just that I'm selfish.
My shop, my rules. I want things
for me. No, exactly. I own this shop and I'm going to, do what I want.
No. Look. The reality is, man, yes. No, of course not, man. Look, it goes down to this. You got to eat your own dog food, right?
Yeah.
You've heard this, haven't you?
Explain for our listeners.
Okay, so you got to eat your own dog. If you've never heard that, I believe this was something that was like a mindset that was made popular by Google. I don't know if it was like, if they were the ones that really kicked it off or just really adapted it. But one way or the other, the concept was back in the day when Google was trying to develop what would become their Android platform to compete with iPhones, they were on the mindset of like, okay, we can't have like this big push for, everybody's got to get an Android, but then our entire staff is using iPhones. Like,
right.
You got to eat your own dog food. Whatever you're developing, you have to be a consumer thereof. And so, it makes sense, man. I mean, like, look, you can't release this 50th anniversary pipe and have it be something that you're not like, that's not like the first thing that you reach for when you're going to enjoy your pipe, especially when you yourself are trying to make a statement. And that statement is 50 years and we're still going strong. So, I think that's great.
That's it. It's something I wanted to, celebrate the shop with, and also to some sense, it's a reward to myself too. But it's fun. It's something you want to really get behind and something that's interesting there that may not be the first pipe in everybody's collection that they pull for, but a shape that I think everybody should have in their collection and something that should be an option for someone on a regular rotation. So Savinelli had questions about doing a Bing's favorite. Would we be able to sell this? And it's funny, the Bing is a really good seller for Savinelli, but it's not their top. But they pulled the numbers and they realized that we were one of their top Bing's favorite retailers anywhere. Literally anywhere. and it's because we smoke them and talk about them all the time. It's funny, eat your own dog food. I don't want to eat anyone's dog food, but we just recommend them so often, and so we sell a lot of Bing's favorites. A lot of our clientele enjoys the Bing shaped pipe, and Bing's favorite, that just to be clear, like the Bing is a shape within itself. This is a shape that was popularized by Bing Crosby, and during his career, he had these pipes kind of that he fell in love with from the merchant service company that has been rebirthed, actually. I hope we can talk about that on a future episode. But you know, that shape of pipe with that long svelte profile that has kind of a medium to small size bowl, a very accessible pipe, something that's elegant, fits nicely a kind of a slimline frame and just very appropriate for someone like Bing. So that shape became the Bing. That shape is known as the Bing, and you can buy a lot of artisan pipe carvers have really developed some Bing shaped pipes that are really stunning and gorgeous. Savinelli's rendition of this pipe they call the Bing's favorite, and so that's just their version of it. It happens to be my favorite. I've got probably five Bing pipe. This pipe will make five Bing pipes.
That sounds right. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, one of them is made by a friend by the name of Jim Deshane. We've talked about before on the podcast. Really talented pipe carver. It's kind of a Magnum Bing, but the rest of the Bings that I own are these Savinelli Bing's favorites, which I just really really love the shape of. So let's talk about the design of this pipe. The Bing historically has only been produced by Savinelli in a couple of finishes. It's just been produced in the dark kind of brownish red finish, like a dark cherry perhaps or something like that, and then a rusticated finish that has this pebble rustication that is just kind of a brown finish. And so we wanted to do something different. That's one thing. This is not a pipe that Savinelli has really customized in the past. They've customized other shapes to either be a Christmas pipe or a club pipe or a shop pipe or something like that, but they've never really done the Bing with a limited edition kind of setup. So we wanted to do something special with the Bing. So we picked a light maple stain. It's a custom stain, never been done in this shape. It's cool because for me, that wood color, it's like a maple-y color that kind of... It kind of is reminiscent of the 1970s to me. It just really has that, those old photographs you see with the kind of hazy yellowed patina on there, from the 70s that you looking at kids our age, look at our pictures of our parents from that era and kind of think of that motif going on there with these pipes. And so we really wanted to showcase something like that. Very proud of how the finish came out on these. It is a little lighter color stain than the traditional Bing's lineup that they offer, and so because of that, it is a little higher quality of briar. Savinelli, they're always committed. If they make a lighter finish, they're gonna make sure that it's a nicer quality of briar, that the flame is really either symmetrical or tight, or if there's bird's eye, it's very proportional or well defined. You're just not gonna see a lot of muddled briar when they have a light colored finish there. So these are, some more premium briars from Savinelli. And then one thing's nice, this is a smooth pipe, and a smooth pipe traditionally with a Bing has never come with a brindle stem, with the colored stem. And so this pipe, we actually have a smooth pipe with a beautiful kind of brindle color stem. It's almost not quite a tortoise shell, but kind of in that direction, lucite. Very, very pretty, and really... really happy with that came out, how that came out. A couple of other distinctives about this particular pipe. It is not drilled for a filter. Most Savinelli pipes are drilled for a filter, and this was one of those hills that I was going to die on making the pipe. I wanted, we love filtered pipes. I occasionally smoke them. We have a lot of customers that swear by them, but I wanted this particular pipe to be filterless, have the traditional, 3 millimeter drill that will not take a filter, just to really, be as plain Jane, as straightforward as possible. We wanted this to be just a no-nonsense, honest, mid-century pipe, something that was just really clean and just very straightforward. And so we made this pipe without a filter. And then finally, one of the most controversial things about Savinelli's rendition of the Bing's favorite, of the Bing, their Bing's favorite, one of the reasons, I literally know people that have not bought Savinelli's Bing because of this. And it's because on every Bing, Savinelli has always put a tiny little golf club on the side of the stem. I don't know. I guess Bing Crosby was a golfer, and that just kind of, you know, made them kind of, in honor of him kind of thing. I don't know. I literally have met people that are like, well, I like the Bing from Savinelli, but it's got that dumb golf club on it. And, I'm not a golfer. I think I've said before, literally the worst things that I've ever said, like, in my human lifetime have happened on the golf course.
Have to repent in glory for the golf course.
I will. There is so much ongoing repentance for things that I have said either during the Egg Bowl or on the golf course, in my lifetime. And so, I have no, affinity for golf. That's never kept me from buying, one of these pipes. But with this limited edition pipe from Savinelli, we had them remove the golf club. So this Bing has no golf club and no filter. So it was kind of a big step. Yeah.
you don't get the John David flex all that often, but right there, getting a Bing's favorite without the golf club. That's impressive, sir. That is impressive.
Well, it's just something we wanted to do. So, any pipe that you're going to make for a group or a anniversary is going to have issues like that. What is the carver or manufacturer, what are they capable of doing? What are they willing to do with a certain amount of pipes? Of course, you can do anything with money. The more you pay, it's like, well, we've never done that before, but gosh, if you're paying us that much, sure, we'll dip your pipe in solid bronze or whatever. These issues have to be dealt with reasonably, and Savinelli was very, very easy to work with through a lot of this. They were really accommodating. But, so selecting that person that's going to do your club pipe or anniversary pipe, you've got to find the right person that's going to communicate with you on, hey, is this the appropriate finish? Is the bend in the stem just right? Is there something that you want to do, as far as an imprint or a embellishment or a band that's going to be, extra special for you? And so, just considering all those things is really important. So that's what we came out with, man. It's a Bing. It's got this beautiful kind of warm maple-colored lighter stain on it, and has a beautiful brindled lucite stem with no filter and no golf club. And then on the side, it says the Country Squire. The other side has 50th anniversary. And then along the bottom, it says it's they're all numbered. So there are 50 pipes were made. There's one of 50, two of 50, three of 50 that you'll see there on the bottom. And what's cool, the shop is keeping pipe number one. Pipe number one is staying with the shop. We'll, find some kind of cool shadow box or something to put that in to make sure it's kind of kept for posterity. And then I'm taking pipe number two. So that I've kind of claimed that one as my own. But man, the rest of them are up for grabs, and we'll see. Hopefully folks will love them.
All right, so I got to ask, because you are. You're a very visual person. Like, if anybody's ever been to the Country Squire's Instagram page, then you see these amazing images, these crafted moments captured in time and all that kind of stuff. And it's gorgeous. You've got a mind for the visual arts from that standpoint. Have you considered, and I mean, like, I realize this is not my forte. I don't, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your thing, but have you considered possibly posing with the Bing's favorite in that iconic, the picture of Bing Crosby where he's
there's no chance. There's
no you get
chance.
That same like striped suit and everything. Get your hair slicked back. I mean, obviously yours would go like much further down, obviously, than his does.
I would look like Billy Ray Cyrus. Yeah, it would be a disaster.
It'd be hilarious. But you got to get that same suit and just get that same like just deadpan expression. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, Bo, maybe on the 100th anniversary.
Maybe on the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, maybe by then I'll, have shaved my beard and, have a different haircut and all that. But for this one, I think we'll let the pipe sell itself. So.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, missed opportunities, but that's fine. That's right. Well, man, we talked about this during with the pipe tobacco as well. But I mean, just congratulations. This is such a momentous occasion in the history of the shop. And, to be that warden, that caretaker, that the squire of the squire, I think is a great moment in history and a great product to market. And you know, the great thing is, man, we know a little something about great products because we're surrounded by such amazing pipe carvers and craftsmen and folks who have done amazing things for the pipe industry as a whole. And when I think about any kind of quality pipe, it's hard for me not to instantly think of our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That is right, man. We love the folks at Missouri Meerschaum and, of course, talk about them every week because we love and believe in their products. And, you know, we talked about the Bing shape today and that kind of, you know, medium to small size bowl with a very clean lines, very mid-century appropriate, a longer pipe that has kind of a nice, you know, delicate frame to it. And the Missouri Meerschaum pipe that exhibits this the most for me is the Huck Finn corncob pipe. It's a great little pipe. It has that nice kind of long frame and just a really attractive pipe that with a narrow bowl. It's kind of got a narrow egg-shaped size bowl and just a very pretty pipe. It comes in kind of a varnished finish, and you know, you can get it in a with a yellow stem or a black stem, and it has that just those proportions that you really like. You know, with a little longer stem, the longer shank, and then the nice kind of oval shaped bowl, which is really attractive. So the barrel shaped bowl has a light coat of soft yellow varnish, ideal for taking a 10-minute break smoke or maybe a little longer, nice smoke break pipe. And man, just really attractive. So you can get that from the source at corncobpipe.com. It sells for only $6.09, and man, they've got it in stock and would love to send you one straight from Washington, Missouri.
All right, man, so be sure to check that out. And hey, if you're enjoying a good quality Missouri Meerschaum pipe this week, be sure to take your picture of yourself doing so, tweet it out to us. We'd love to retweet it out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week coming in from Jody.
Jody.
Joe. Jody.
Jody.
There it is. Jody has to say this. He says, I got a question all about shipping. I know you do this a lot and probably have some specific methods, but for the average Joe looking to send pipe tobacco to a friend, what is the proper way to do so to ensure the pipe tobacco doesn't either dry out or become impacted by the lack of temperature control? Thinking specifically here of sending tobacco from previously open tins in my cellar. Thanks for the show. And again, that is Joe D, otherwise known as Jody.
Joe D. Man, thank you so much for writing in, man. Great question. You know, this is particularly, you know, this time of year is very appropriate just because, you know, there are weather extremes going on in different parts of the country. And so, yeah, you know, the kind of the main thing that folks try to do is not let the, you know, tobacco sit on a truck anywhere too long, which it, the really only thing you can do to try to minimize that risk is to not have it being shipped over the weekend. And so, you know, a lot of folks, I know other retailers that, you know, they won't let a manufacturer ship them anything that's going to sit over the weekend. They always insist that it ships on the first part of the week so they can get it middle or later part of the week. And so so that's one option for you. I would maybe pursue that, you know, as well as double bagging tobacco. You know, if you're going to send it in a Ziploc bag or something similar, you know, just double it up. Hopefully that'll kind of help as well. It helps from a couple of standpoints because you think about, you know, the tobacco losing its aroma and, you know, sweating and, you know, being protected from the elements and all that kind of stuff. But also, if you're shipping multiple tobaccos in the same package, the problem is that, you know, a lot of times the aroma from those different tobaccos will actually kind of cross-pollinate, you know? They'll kind of, the flavors will kind of talk to each other even through that plastic. And so you just want to protect that. You know, you want to try to, you know, make sure your English blends don't taste like vanilla and your, you know, cherry blend doesn't taste like, you know, road tar. So that's just, you know, kind of part of it. But anyway, yeah, so I would, you know, maybe go with those couple of things. Other than that, there's not really a lot you can do except, you know, just try to ship it at times of year that are more moderate, you know, to, you know, temperate climate, you know, and then also obviously, just, you know, ship your tobacco, express, make sure it gets there soon. Most folks nowadays are using, priority mail, which, you know, typically in the U.S. is 2 to 3 day delivery, depending on where you live. And, it can be a pretty good value. So, anyway, just some options for you. But, yeah, in the end, you might just have to, if you want absolutely no risk of it whatsoever, just take it, get in your car and have a road trip.
Well, there you go. All right, man. So it's the tips from the expert right there. We'll just all expect next time we order something from the Country Squire for John David to hand deliver. Could you imagine? Yeah, yeah. But hey, great pipe question of the week, Joe. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week that you'd like to send it to the show. Show at CountrySquireRadio.com is the email address. Again, that is show at CountrySquireRadio.com.
Quickfire with the Squire.
Quickfire question. Ow! All right, man. Quickfire questions. This is a dangerous one that is sent in from Gene
B. Oh, my gosh. I'm just seeing, dude. We already make enough people angry. This is just
all the
ridiculous.
Time. This is like terrible. Professional suicide right here.
This is awful.
The quickfire question theme this week is states, where we have to choose between two states.
That's horrible.
Yeah, we are about to make a lot of people mad, and I have a feeling even the ones that we're going to choose are going to be mad at us. So this will be interesting.
Gene Bowker, I mean, he's literally sent us a list of states, and we have to pick between. Two of them. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is truly awful. All right, bring it. We're committed. So at this point, yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Wait. But before I do this, have you ever have you traveled to all 50 states?
I have nowhere near.
Yeah. Neither have I. Okay.
Near.
Good.
Maybe half. Maybe. All right.
Just putting those credentials out there, so you can't get mad at us. We might not have been to your place. So there you go.
Hey, no, that's right. Maybe, Bo, we should just do this. Like, you know how we say quick fire questions, but they're not really quick fire because
you
want to
do this
one
as quick
about,
as possible.
Maybe we should do that.
Rip off the Band-Aid. Here we go. Florida or California?
Florida.
California. North Carolina or South Carolina?
South Carolina.
North Carolina. Man, have you ever been to North Carolina?
I have.
It's gorgeous.
So is South Carolina.
I've actually never been to South Carolina. See, I feel like we have to put caveats in here. Texas or Oklahoma?
Texas.
Texas. Arkansas or Alabama?
Arkansas.
Alabama. Arizona or Nevada?
That's tough. I'm going to go with Arizona because that's where my wife's from.
Okay, I'm going to go with Nevada because I've never been to Arizona, but I've been to Nevada, but I didn't like Nevada, so maybe I should say Nevada. New Mexico or Colorado?
It's so stupid. I'm going to go with Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado. New York or New Jersey?
New York.
All right. Yeah, I mean New York as well. Illinois or Indiana?
Indiana.
I like Chicago. Illinois. Michigan or Ohio?
Ohio.
I got to choose Michigan because of the family. And also Ohio, I have been on record so many times making fun of Ohio, just not on this show. I don't know what our download numbers are like in Ohio, but I know if I went into my whole tirade about Ohio, then it wouldn't be very high. Virginia or West Virginia?
Virginia.
East Virginia. Georgia or Tennessee?
I'll go with Tennessee.
I'm going to go with Tennessee, of course, as well. Yeah, Tennessee's great. All right, there you go. We did it.
And if you're from any of those states that we didn't pick, we love you too.
Except for Ohio. No, you chose Ohio.
I chose Ohio, but I don't. Right. You know, honestly, I didn't really think about that one. I mean, I don't really know anyone from Ohio. I know most of my friends up.
My
in the
wife's
West
from
are,
Michigan.
I know most of my friends from the Midwest are from Michigan and.
Do you know what our listenership is in Michigan? Like
it's
that's the
significant.
Thing. We need to go back and redo this, man. You need to be nicer to California. We already said Texas, but
question
California, Texas,
nine,
and Michigan.
question number nine. Michigan. I love you.
There you go. All right. I was about to say, like our three biggest states are California, Texas, and Michigan. So we gotta do what you gotta do. All right, guys. Yes, of course. We love all y'all, no matter where you're from. And I'm just kidding, Ohio. It's a joke that I've beat. No,
he's
I'm not. I don't know why, but like in high school, I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna be like a complete like troll to this entire state of Ohio, and then I was for like a long time with no excuse other than the fact I was a dumb teenager, and yet it stuck with me. So there you go. All right, there you go. Quick fire questions. Excellent job, Gene. Now we have no listeners and it's your fault. But if you've got some quick fire questions, send them into the show, show@CountrySquireRadio.com. Again, that is show@CountrySquireRadio.com.
I love, you know, he sends all these states and like we're having to pick between this state or that state. But like we're from Mississippi. Like I live in Mississippi. You're from Mississippi originally.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like we love our state. We're proud of it. But
big
like
time.
It would always be choice B.
Now, you know, I don't know.
For most other people, you know, I want to acknowledge that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We're giving states like Ohio a hard time, and like, you know, they're not bottom five, and you know, things that are very important. So.
Yeah, exactly. We're punching up. You know what I mean? Like, it's respectable because
you're
we're punching up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Punching up. That's
I mean,
that's
arguably the Alabama, but I chose Alabama. So yeah, anyway.
I did not. I did
no,
not.
No, you did not. Yeah.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback this week. We got some great listener feedback in from Pastor Joda. We're carrying on the whole smoking, the smoke in the glass thing, I think, here. What did Pastor Joda have to say?
Yeah, this is great. He says, in a previous episode recently, John David mentioned a Presbyterian mixture smoked old-fashioned. That, my friend, sounds brilliant. So if you don't know what we're talking about, a few weeks ago, I had a friend that he took Presbyterian mixture, torched it, literally, you know, burned it on a kind of a little plate, and then he took his cocktail glass and held it upside down over the smoke of the Presbyterian mixture that's smoldering right, yeah. under there to kind of infuse that, you know, about to be cocktail with that aroma. And then he turned it over real quick and made the cocktail, and it was just delicious. Anyway, so that's what Pastor Jode is referencing here. He goes on to say, I had my smoked old fashioned last year at a restaurant and loved it. They brought it out on a wooden tray with a glass dome that was completely filled with smoke. Then they lifted the lid and a plume of applewood smoke filled the air around me. I talked to the bartender about how they accomplished it. Apparently, there are some devices designed specifically for this purpose, but I figure I can accomplish it without a fancy machine. I have an old apple tree in my yard, so I have chipped some of its wood and swiped my wife's cake covers and lit the wood on fire inside the cover with the drink next to it. Still fine-tuning the process, but it definitely works. I kind of feel like a mad scientist when doing it. You guys have to try it, and I will definitely consider the tobacco infusion. And that is from Pastor Joda.
Fascinating.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool.
I mean, like, is there... You know, I'm trying to think if this is... Is this a quick? I mean, not a quick fire question, but is this like a Squire Select episode that we need to do? Or perhaps like a Squire Labs? You know, like, should we try?
Ooh, Squire Labs. Let's just do something really crazy and see what happens.
Yeah, like Bunsen and Beaker from The Muppets, man. It'd be like, there might be something here. Like, there's some pipe tobacco experiments that, like, we could be like, don't try this at home, and then we try it at our respective homes. I think there's something to consider. But
okay. Yeah, you never know.
Pastor Joda, thanks so much for this. And hey, we want to thank everybody who wrote into the show this week. Hey, if you would like to also write into the show, you can do so at any time. Again, you've heard me say it before, but show@countrysquireradio.com is the email address. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. I'm at TheRealBoYork on Twitter.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_countrysquire.
Also, the show's handle is @SquireRadio, but all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, John David, without pulling the curtain back too far, it's been an interesting technological episode to record this
week.
It has
been, man. You know, the gremlins are alive occasionally, but man, I'm always thrilled to be here, dude. Always.
Yeah. The great thing is, you know, thanks to the magic of our amazing editor, Mike, I'm sure that that people won't even notice, and they're going to be scratching their heads like, what? This was an amazing show. That's because of Mike, not because of us. So shout out to Mike this week.
These are facts.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.